At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Red Sox. We'll call it a spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I think we can all agree that hot stove season is over, and we are now in the next phase of our winter show. So we're going to be getting into a little bit of Red Sox rotation talk. Zips projections are out, as well as the Pecota projections. Not great numbers for the Red Sox. We'll be getting into that. John Henry submitted some comments to The Athletic via Jen McCaffrey. We will get into that as well. Joining me tonight, Cody Paulson. Cody, how are you?
Everybody, how we doing? Good to be back. Been a little while. Always great to be able to talk baseball. I think this is kind of the first time throughout the winter where there wasn't as much to talk about as usual. You know, the hot stove seemed to be a little bit more delayed than usual into the winter. Some of those late-breaking deals, those signings kind of carried us through the new year and into the first month of the new year as well. So, Terry, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Just kind of rolling with things. Nothing too exciting in my life at the moment, but I do kind of like it that way. Just means there's no drama and things are good. So players have all reported at this point. The one hiccup was Jorge Alfaro had some visa issues. It seems like every year one player does. This year it was him. But he has now arrived at camp. The one thing of note, the only real major thing, Brian Bello had some soreness in his forearm, which in a lot of cases can be a precursor to Tommy John surgery. And basically, this is Tommy John season. You know, there'll be pitchers across the league in the coming days and weeks that'll get the bad news that their rest over the winter wasn't, you know, what their elbow needed, and they'll go ahead and have Tommy John. The second phase of that seems to come in like May and June a little bit. And so that's the big scary, Tommy John. So, and Bello, I think we can agree, is the last guy you want to possibly, you know, face that type of a surgery. So are you concerned at the moment or no?
You know, with it being kind of so early into pitchers and catchers reporting, I think at that point in time, all of the other players hadn't reported yet. The optimist in me wants to not be concerned. You know, they've used broad terms at this point in time too, right? Soreness, tightness, discomfort, you know, nothing too specific. And, you know, I kind of want to err on the side of caution in that regard. I think I did see, some quotes where they were confident with, keeping him on a pitching program, after shutting him down for the weekend. They weren't going to do imaging. And so, you know, the way that they were kind of handling it and not shutting him down for a longer period of time already, you know, gives me confidence. He had been spending the offseason working with Pedro as well. So it's not like he had an idle offseason, was trying to crank it up to 98 out the gate. As you kind of mentioned there, Terry, he is the last guy we can have to, you know, afford to go down for the full year on a rotation that's already fragile to begin with. If we were in a better position with the rotation, or, you know, if this is another guy that we weren't necessarily hanging a cap on to get 30, 35 starts out of, I think we would be even less concerned. But just due to the importance and, you know, what he can bring to this rotation, I think that's why we're all a little uneasy, if anything.
I agree. You make a lot of good points there. The reason why this is scary is because he's like the lone bright spot right now of anybody we have. And if you lose him, it's not just going to be for this season. It's going to be for half of next season as well. And then there's all kinds of precautions that they would take with a player like him. So that would be probably one of the more devastating things that could happen, I would say. And it's very possible Brian Baio could be the ace of your staff this year. Not that I think he's going to pitch to the level of a number one, but I just don't have high expectations for anyone, really. So again, it would be extremely devastating to lose him, and he's never had it. A lot of pitchers coming up might have it in high school or college at some point, and he's just never has. So, it appears that the rest of the rotation, we're not hearing anything out of Chris Sale, James Paxton, you know, who are coming off of, you know, injuries from last season. Nick Pivetta, apparently, well, he did have an illness of some sort. I can't remember if it was COVID again or not, but he's just a minor hiccup for him. And Corey Kluber, I guess, will be the first starting pitcher that will, see game action. And that's expected to be at some point mid to late next week. So any thoughts with any of them?
Just to kind of piggyback off of your Pivetta point, I think it was mentioned that he was recovering from another bout of COVID recently, but he had been, you know, fully cleared by today's health and safety protocols. Because I think, you know, he threw what, one pitch and then doubled over and they pulled him from whatever his program was, which, you know, not a guy that we're particularly excited about as Red Sox Nation, but kind of a guy that's pretty critical to our staff. As the way it's currently constructed, he's going to be the swing guy, the four or five that goes out there and eats some innings and at least keeps us, you know, relevant and in the game. I think he got a lot of bad press last season. He had that great maybe 6 or 8 start stretch, where he was absolutely lights out. But at the very least, you know what you were going to get from him. And I think any sort of stability in this rotation is going to be welcome with the tumultuous outlook that we currently have.
Question, and we won't debate it at all, just a basic yes or no. Are you feeling any desperation to the point where you would make a phone call to Trevor Bauer's agent, or should we let it ride?
I would not call Trevor Bauer.
Okay, fair enough. I probably would, but that's been my stance all along. You know, out of pure desperation and just completely unsatisfied with this rotation.
I'll put it this way. I mean, even if you could remove all of the static and the noise around, the off the field issues, I don't think this team is one pitcher away from being a title contender, right? You know, if that's we were fair. In a place where, you know, we're projected to get 95 wins, the Yankees are projected 98, and Bauer could be the one that swings, and then maybe we're the favorites in the East, and, you know, he makes us a title contender, then you can potentially deal with some of the backlash if, you know, you're winning 100, 105 games. Where we are, I just don't think it's worth the headache that's going to come with it to turn us into, you know, maybe a more interesting wild card contender. Per se.
Well, I'll agree that we are further away than one arm being added. You know, we need more help than that. But I just wonder if it's got to be in the back of some people's minds right now as they look at their own rotations, and especially as more injuries and surgeries are going to get announced here. All right, so let's move forward. Projections, they all always come out this time of year. I think we're still waiting on a lot of the major Vegas casinos and sports books and all that to still come out with where they think the Red Sox will be. Two projections that, you know, a lot of people look forward to every year, Zips and Pecota. Zips has the Red Sox winning only 79 games. Pecota, just one more game than that, 80 wins. So we're below 500 with two of them. For what it's worth, DraftKings, as of the other day, I haven't checked since then, they have the Red Sox, the over and under is set at 77.5 wins. So they're in the same neighborhood. Are you surprised? Is that about where, you know, where you're kind of looking in terms of your own, you know, number in your head?
If I had to pick a number out of my head, I would like to slate us in towards the mid 80s, I think is kind of where we're going to be. I think it's unfortunate that this happens to project to be one of the more difficult divisions in, or one of the more difficult years for the AL East. You know, Baltimore's on the rise, Toronto's up, Tampa's up, New York's up, right? Now, granted, we play them less with the new schedule shift, and we do get to play every team in the league, which I think will help us. I think the DraftKings, if it's available in your state, that seems like easy money. I would have to imagine that we could get to 78 wins. My take on it is they're not wanting to elevate the win total due to the amount of unknowns that we have on our staff, right? Not only are we bringing out a rotation that is coming back from major injuries, but we're also slotting in a bunch of new pieces from the offseason. We rotated out a lot of guys from last year's roster, and I imagine that they're anticipating that it's going to take a little bit of time to gel, right? You have a guy like Kike, who is, I guess, become the de facto leader in the clubhouse, but we don't know what this team is going to be like. You know, how are they going to find that groove, find that cohesion, and kind of get things going, right? Is it going to take a little bit of time for them to find their footing coming out of the gates? What does that look like? You know, we have fewer and fewer holdovers each year, fewer people to kind of rely on to bring us out of slumps or to keep things going when things are going well. So in my opinion, that's the reason why the win totals are below 500. I think this is a big Alex Cora year as well. You know, this is a team in which, you know, he does have some flexibility. He does have some lineups and matchups that he can use to an advantage. There are some, you know, tools in the shed that he can really flex that managerial brilliance that many have claimed for him to have. So I'd be excited to see how he navigates the season.
I've been on record with a very firm number, and that I gave that a month ago. I have the Red Sox at 74 wins. So I think either way, for me, it's the first digit of the win total is going to start with a 7. That's just where I'm at. So, you know, I'm always pretty confident in my predictions. I mean, last year I had them at 85 wins. I said they would miss the playoffs at that total. They did end up 7 under that. And, of course, the year before was a bit of an anomaly. I had them in the 70s as well, and I think we won 92. So that was like, yeah. And that season was so crazy. I mean, you had that hot first half, and then Perez died off. Richards died off. I think he got injured. And just the path to that postseason was just so unusual and probably not one we'll ever see again. But yeah, so my record is a little bit better, though, when it comes to will they make the playoffs, yes or no. And 2019, I didn't have them. 2020, obviously. Actually, I haven't had them making it since 2018. And you know, 3 out of those 4 were correct. But so not a shock to me that the team, you know, just is not widely projected. I will be curious to see who has the highest, who does potentially have that number 87, number 88 that has them. That would likely be a sixth seed total. So, you know, I think in the next couple of weeks we'll start to get those hard numbers. Also, John Henry had some comments to The Athletic. A couple of the it was only four questions in the Q&A. One of the notable ones was if they regretted how they handled the Xander Bogaerts situation and what they could have done differently. And Henry's only reply to that was, well, we could have offered him 12 years. So that was a non-answer, basically, in my opinion. Didn't want to touch it, didn't want to go into it, gave a very snide, you know, we could have given him 12 years. Here's the interesting one, and I'm going to read this one. It's not that long. Jen McCaffrey was the Athletic writer doing the Q&A with John Henry. She asks him, this was question number 4 out of 4, how do you view the job Heim and the front office have done over the past 3 seasons with a trip to the ALCS sandwiched between 2 last-place finishes? So that's the question that Jen McCaffrey asked John Henry. Here's how he responded. He says, quote, "We play in the toughest division in baseball, and we haven't gotten the results we're looking for recently, with the exception of 2021. No one was happy with our mediocre result last year. In our division, if you play 500 ball, you're going to finish last." Now, she asked about the job Heim in the front office have done. So what's missing in there to you, if anything?
You know, I think it's a, you know, we're getting speaking bits from a guy that's in between a rock and a hard place, right? You know, these are the type of stories that make me really glad that spring training is knocking on our door and right around the doorstep, you know, because we're making something that I, in my opinion, is a non-story into a story. John Henry very rarely talks to the media, and oftentimes when he does, most people don't put a lot of stock into it. Yeah, he didn't, you know, have a resounding backing of Heim Bloom and his performance, but at the same time, you know, he was trying to, I think, win a little bit of favor with the fan base, right? To make it seem like he's not out of touch and that he's, you know, not on another planet watching this team. My whole opinion on the front office and the Red Sox owner group is it doesn't seem like they're in sync with the direction that they want to go in, right? And, you know, the front office isn't going to come out here and say, hey, flat out, we're not getting it done. We're not signing the right players. And then the owner group is not going to come out and say, well, we don't want to spend money while they increase, you know, prices for tickets and concessions year over year over year, right? So everybody's, you know, trying to point the finger, trying to take the heat off themselves while a team that is backloaded contracts is underperforming. I don't think there was going to be an answer that he could have given that would have placated or pacified the fan base, right? You know, if he comes out and backs Bloom, people are going to be like, well, this guy clearly doesn't get it. We've been in the last place, you know, 3 out of the last 4 years. And then if he comes out and bashes Bloom, then we're like, well, how's Bloom supposed to succeed if, you know, the ownership group doesn't believe in him? And I think you got a little bit of that as well when you mentioned it with the Bogaerts answer, right? You know, what's he supposed to say to that? There's no way we were going to offer him 12 years. And I think if we offered him 12 years, everybody would have laughed us out of town. I don't think there was many people that viewed the Bogaerts deal in San Diego very well. And so, you know, it's always tough to go off of Henry's comments, in my own opinion.
He has been the most reclusive owner in Major League Baseball the past few years. But for me, what was kind of missing in there is he could have taken the opportunity to endorse Heim Bloom and say, I know things haven't gone our way, but we believe in the plan and he's our guy. And he doesn't even have to believe in that, but you know, it would have been the, you know, the politically correct thing to say. And especially if you want the media to shut the hell up about it for at least a couple months. And he didn't take that opportunity to do it. Sam Kennedy did come out today, and apparently some of them met with the media. Cora also did as well. But Sam Kennedy said on Bloom's job security, he says, quote, Haim is our chief baseball officer, and we don't anticipate any changes there. Again, that's a very underwhelming response. He could have endorsed Bloom there, and there was nothing emphatic about that statement to me. So the other thing interesting as well that I kind of left out in that Q&A, John Henry accuses there being a, well, he complains about there being a false narrative about this current team. And how delusional do you have to be? I mean, they're getting destroyed right now on social media. Ken Rosenthal tweeted out yesterday with that exact quote from him, you know, in a tweet that, you know, there's a false narrative. And Rosenthal has been savage, you know, to the Red Sox all winter long, just criticizing them over the Bogart situation. Devers as well before the extension. And this is the correct narrative. I mean, we just went through the projections. This team is just not expected to do well. And I just feel like ownership is handling it in the worst way possible. They're getting less and less credible every time they open their mouths. And there's no question to me, Haim Bloom's job security, his job is on the line here. They can't go through another season and then another full winter next year with a guy like Bloom. That's just, it's not sustainable, and it's crazy to me.
I mean, I will say when Bloom came on, right, the whole point of his plan was a long-term look, right? It was not going to be like a, hey, I can spin this around quickly. I can get us from where we are to championship pedigree in a year or two. I'm not going to be a flash in the pan guy. It's going to be a year-over-year kind of process. And if you look at the projected salary cap or the money that we're, you know, tied to for next year, we're middle of the league, right? That's the flexibility that we're looking for to be able to spend. And I haven't done a deep dive into the free agency market for next year, but I sure hope it looks a lot better than the free agency market this year. You know, I know that this was one of the years that a lot of the dead cap money came off the books, but this definitely wasn't the freedom year like the Chicago Bears have, right? You know, number one pick with over $100 million in salary cap. I don't view Haim Bloom's tenure here at the Red Sox much different than a lot of college football tenures as well. You got a program that has had a lot of success, you know, had a coach that got a little bit stale, you know, felt pretty comfortable, started recruiting some volatile players, and you have to change the culture and you have to change, you know, it from the ground up. I'm a Florida State fan. You know, when Jimbo left the program wasn't in great shape. We hired a culture guy in Willie Taggart, and, you know, he did the best that he could, but there was too much to overcome. And Willie, unfortunately, had some shortcomings of himself. And now Mike Norvell has had to try to figure out how to right the ship amidst all of that. And we're really getting traction in year, I think, three going on four now. And I see it as a similar trajectory with Haim Bloom. You know, maybe the results aren't as good or as predominant, but these aren't overnight fixes. These aren't quick things that we can do. And, you know, patience is obviously a virtue and something that is very difficult to give a team, especially one that costs as much as the Red Sox do to go to a game. But I mean, you mentioned it, the ownership group is losing, I think, confidence and favor with the fan base each time they talk about something, because it seems like we're watching two different things on the field.
Since you brought it up, I mean, I hadn't looked at it either. I do have the list in front of me now. There are, I guess, some interesting free agents going into next year. Max Scherzer will be the headliner of next year's free agent deal. And any names I'm about to mention are assuming that nothing gets reached, you know, during this season, because extensions often do take place. One guy I highly doubt ever gets to the market next year, Shohei Ohtani. I think the Angels will pay him some ungodly number, and that'll be the end of that. Some other names out there, Marcus Stroman, Javi Baez, if he opts out. Clayton Kershaw will once again be a free agent. Curiously, he was just taken off the WBC roster.
Yeah, they said they couldn't figure it out, but then didn't touch else on that. You know, it didn't seem like an injury thing. It was strange.
Yeah, so we'll have to check on that. Yasmani Grandal, that would be an interesting upgrade. Excuse me, at catcher. Michael Conforto will re-enter free agency next year. Charlie Blackman, who I've always loved, probably not at this point, but he'll be a free agent. Cody Bellinger will be a free agent once again. Let's see, Eduardo Rodriguez, he must have an opt-out in his deal that I was not aware of. Those are some names, so I wouldn't call this an overwhelmingly robust free agent. Well, actually, now that I scroll down, Lucas Giolito will be a free agent, Aaron Nola. So apparently you just got to dig a little bit further on this list. I'm going down super fast right now. But still, again, it's not going to be a super robust market. Certainly not like this year's, especially with the middle infielders that were available. And I thought this year had a decent starting pitching market as well. So if things go the way things are projected, it's going to be another GM, making these decisions. So it'll be pretty interesting. So I guess we can probably wrap on that projections and public relations were the theme of the last 24-48 hours. As things develop, we could be back. I don't know if we'll squeak out a second show this week necessarily, but I think all the rest of the weeks for the rest of spring training will have at least two shows, and when the season starts, we'll be back to four shows every week. So for anyone who hated the long layoff that we had, I think it was at least 2 or 3 weeks, we won't have another one like that until probably next January or February. So appreciate you coming on, Cody. Hopefully everybody is having a good start to their week, and maybe we'll see in a few days. If not, certainly no later than the end of the weekend. Take care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.